the Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 4th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. First, to New Hampshire, where gun safety advocates are urging the governor there, Chris Sununu, to back policies proven to reduce gun violence following a series of deadly shootings in the state.
Advocates will gather this week to set legislative priorities for the upcoming session, including efforts to close background check loopholes and enforce extreme risk protection orders. Zandra Rice-Hawkins with Gun Sense NH, a project of Granite State Progress, says no community is immune to gun violence.
They're not immune in Lewiston, Maine. They're not immune in Concord, New Hampshire. And unless we wrap our arms around this and really work together for policy solutions, we're going to continue to have more loss.
Rice-Hawkins says lawmakers could also enact gun-free school zones in New Hampshire, a state that currently blocks the enforcement of federal firearms laws. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
New Hampshire is one of just three states that does not report that information to databases used in background checks for firearms and purchases. Now from Yahoo News, three commercial ships in the Red Sea were struck by ballistic missiles fired from Houthi-controlled Yemen on Sunday. A U.S. warship shot down three drones in self-defense during the hours-long assault. Responsibility for the attack was claimed by the Houthi rebels, who are backed by Iran. Yahoo says the attacks marked an escalation in a series of maritime attacks in the Mideast linked to the Israeli-Hamas war, as multiple vessels found themselves in the crosshairs of a single Houthi assault for the first time in the conflict. And the number of people in Wyoming who don't know where their next meal will come from is on the rise. That is according to USDA data.
Rachel Bailey with the Food Bank of Wyoming says organizations like hers are also facing higher food costs as they work to ensure neighbors in need can access nourishing food during the winter, holidays, and beyond. Donations of canned foods are always welcomed, but Bailey says the best way to help is to make a financial contribution.
The Food Bank of Wyoming is set up so that we can take $1 and we can make that equal three meals. So that's why if you can give financially, this is a really good time of year to do it.
The end of COVID era assistance programs like boosts to SNAP benefits and the refundable child tax credit has put more families at risk of hunger. Proponents of ending the programs warned that they discouraged people from re-entering the workforce, but this concern was unwarranted, according to researchers at MIT and the University of Chicago, who found the programs did not impact workforce participation.
I'm Eric Galatis.
Contributions to food banks do tend to drop after the holidays. Supporters say it's important for those who can help to stay involved, especially during winter months when volunteers work to get food to older residents who find it hard to leave their homes. This is Public News Service. Next to Minnesota, which is 2 years away from enacting its new paid leave law, but the debate over cost have resurfaced. Some in the small business community say they're not so worried.
The law was adopted this past session with plenty of fanfare, but it also followed debate over the potential impact on businesses. It allows up to 12 weeks of paid family leave or 12 weeks of medical leave. It's capped at 20 weeks for those needing both. It'll be funded through payroll premiums split between employers and employees. But a new state commission analysis says the expected rates should be slightly higher to cover costs. Dan Swenson-Klatt, owner of the Butter Bakery Cafe in Minneapolis, still backs the law.
It's still about 10 times less than I pay when I'm paying out of pocket to be able to pay that kind of premium level.
Organizations like the Chamber of Commerce, as well as Republican lawmakers, say the new findings underscore their concerns about the law being a costly endeavor. But Democratic sponsors welcome the new analysis, saying the new projections are still in line with what they had envisioned when pushing through the plan. I'm Mike Moen.
And as the 2023 United Nations Climate Change Conference in Dubai wraps up, Democratic lawmakers and cleaner advocates are calling on the EPA to release strict rules on emissions from heavy-duty trucks.
The agency is expected to act in the next few months. California Senator Alex Padilla says big rigs using diesel fuel are choking the air with smog and soot, especially in black and brown communities close to major freeways.
Despite only 10% of the vehicles on the road being heavy-duty vehicles, they produce over a quarter of the transportation sector's greenhouse gas emissions and over half of all particulate matters. This has to be a priority area for the EPA and for all of us.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Finally, Eric Tadoff lets us know workers at the Tacoma Art Museum are celebrating a unique union victory that could be a model for other museums.
The 26 members of Tacoma Art Museum Workers United voted unanimously in favor of the union in November. It's Washington State's first cross-department union in an art museum, although they're still seeking to include two security workers. Institutional giving manager Eden Redmond says they fought for an inclusive union because workers were experiencing similar issues museum-wide.
The issues that workers were facing permeated across departments, and they permeated across experience levels and tenure, and they permeated across different generations of leadership.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.